Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 57th verse. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another he said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." There are some who will tell you that the Bible is full of contradictions. That's not true. It is marvelously consistent. But it is full of paradox. And I think we see that in today's text. Someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." The reply he got sounded an awful lot like, "You sure you want to do that?" Which is pretty much what it was. Jesus let this guy know that following him was not going to be easy. Interestingly, he described it in terms of very human activities, basic human comfort. No prosperity gospel here. Jesus really did mean for this enthusiastic fellow to follow him, but to think about what he was volunteering for. A life on the go, not knowing where they would sleep or when they would get their next decent meal. We know history well enough to know that it would get even worse than that. What Jesus said was not to turn this man away, but to let him know what was in front of him, what he was getting into. That becomes clear, I think, when he said to someone else, "Follow me." Was the second guy any better than the first? No. Maybe he had learned a little bit by listening to what happened before. Maybe he realized that it would be hard, so he made an excuse. Jesus didn't buy it. Jesus said to him, "Forget the excuse." And he said, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Then a third man, who may also have been paying attention, piped up and said, "I will follow you, Lord." Maybe he wanted to look good. But then he starts putting conditions on what he would do and when he would do it. And if you will permit me to paraphrase what Jesus said, he said, "There are no conditions. Either you're in or you're out." Following Jesus. Three problems, three reactions. First, it may be hard. Second, following means turning away from the old life and into the new life of faith in God. Third, there is no turning back. So, should we volunteer to follow Jesus? I grew up in an environment, and that's exactly what we did. We decided to follow Jesus again and again and again. And our resolve would last for a little while, maybe till the next sermon or the next altar call. Until we realized that we didn't have what it took, that we couldn't follow Jesus on our own. It was like a scaled-down version of what happened to Peter. Do you remember? Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." And before dawn, he had denied Jesus three times. Peter failed. Jesus died alone. There was no one following him then. For a moment, the whole idea of following Jesus seemed like a lost cause. Then Jesus rose from the grave. And following Jesus took on a whole new dimension. To the cross, to the grave, to the sky. Peter's journey began to take shape that a few days later. Before Jesus ascended to his Father, he came to Peter and said to him, "Feed my sheep." And the man who couldn't find the courage to follow Jesus did it. Was it easy for Peter? No, not at all. He went through a lot. He finally followed Jesus all the way to his own cross. Yes, Peter followed Jesus to the cross, and then to the grave, and then to the sky. A perilous journey, but oh, so, so worth it. Will our journey be that hard? Probably not. But it does mean living out our baptism, putting our old nature to death every day, living out our new life in Christ. Paul wrote to Titus, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hatred to one another, to others, hating one another." Those passions and pleasures put following Jesus way out of our reach. No one could do that on their own. But Jesus changed that. He opened the way. In his power, by his blood, we can live the life we were intended for from the very beginning. The broken world, the sinful world, is going to perish, all because of Adam's sin in the garden. Remember, once Adam had sinned, he tried to hide from God. It's pretty hard to follow anyone if you're hiding from them. The world, the devil, our own nature will keep us hiding in the dark. But Jesus, in his life, death and resurrection, broke the power of darkness. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." So we keep our eyes on him. We follow the light into everlasting life with our Savior. Amen.